Everybody knows you go to church and you don't find friendliness. Except in this church. We're very friendly in this church, right? If I could get the ushers to grab these clipboards and get them going. Where are you, ushers? Douglas, would you do that? Please. Andale. Muy quickly. How are you all? Don't expect much because I'm getting old, so according to Jordan, I'm getting dim. So just lower your expectations right now, and we'll all be okay. By the way, I'm Tom. I'm dealing with overeating and anger. Mostly anger. Funny thing is, actually, that is our subject today, is anger. It actually made me mad when they assigned me this topic. Why couldn't I talk about the Holy Spirit or something, you know, or spiritual warfare or marriage or child raising, anything but anger? So I'm going to talk about all those things today. Buckle up. I got to tell you, I'm number four child of eight, big family. And I had an older brother. I'm actually the next to oldest brother, but I had an older brother that absolutely terrorized me as a kid. How many older brothers do we have here? You guys were, you're those people, aren't you?
Yep. Proud of it.
My older brother used to just antagonize me and beat me up, and I was just a scrawny little kid. Always, until high school, I was just a scrawny little runt. And my brother would just do mean things to me. He liked to get me down, pin me down on the ground, pin my arms down, and do this Chinese torture, you know, with your finger on the chest. I probably had that torture every day of my life between the ages of about 6 and 13. And he would hold me down, and I would get so angry. I would just and he actually would have to continue holding me down because he was afraid to let me up. Because once I got up, then I was out of control. So my brother is the source of my anger. We have a group for that. What? I have this question. Why is it? You know, I introduced myself this morning as I deal with overeating and anger. Why is it that people will introduce themselves, anybody that's CR-oriented, and they'll say, I struggle with codependency, or I struggle with alcohol addiction, or anything like that. Nobody ever says they struggle with anger. So I guess this message doesn't apply to very many of us. But anyways, let's read what Proverbs has to say about anger, because that's what our series is taking us through, is the wisdom of Proverbs. This shouldn't take very long, okay? Just don't get angry. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I've had a few harsh words stir up mine. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Good sense. We need some good sense. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. When you just let your temper get out of control, folly, trouble, all that stuff comes in its wake. Proverbs 19:22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Anybody ever say things in your anger? Wish you could take them back? It's hard to take things back. It causes problems. This is my favorite, Proverbs 30, 32 to and 33. If you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put your hand to your mouth. For pressing milk produces curds, Pressing the nose produces blood, and pressing anger produces strife. It's just a fact. You press anger, you exalt yourself. We say things to people, to each other all the time, and we just stir up anger. I want to actually speak to two sides of the anger today, because there are those of us that struggle with anger, and there are those of us that are prone to provoke anger. And I think the subject applies to all of us. You're thinking, I'm not that person. I don't have an anger problem. Well, maybe you don't, but maybe you're a smart aleck like me. Maybe you're one that provokes. Here's a couple of out of some more of the wisdom books of the Bible. Psalm 4:4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Anger likes to just get lodged and just take root in our lives. And it's bad news. So I want to give you just three statements, just kind of just sum it up, some of the things we just read out of Proverbs and even more what the Bible says. First one is that anger in itself is not sin. Anybody here have a pulse? Are we human here? Are we alive? It is fairly normal for us to feel anger. It's what happens after we have been angered that can be sinful. Where does that anger go? Where does it take you? What do you do with that anger? The anger itself really isn't sin. It's what happens afterwards and what we allow to happen afterwards. Second statement is that you get angry is normal. That you get angry often is a sign of an unhealthy spirit. So, all right, so you feel a little anger now and then. You're pretty normal. So do I. If you are constantly angry, there's something wrong. If you get angered easily, there's something wrong. There's something unhealthy in your spirit. Third statement, letting anger manipulate your actions is a choice on your part. It's nobody's fault but your own. Well, you don't know that person that I'm married to. You don't know who my big brother was. Guess what? My big brother was out of line. And sometimes people are out of line. But really, it's our choice what we do with that anger. We live in a world where we like to blame everything on everybody else. It was my dad. It was my mom. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's my kids. It's me. It's my choice. My wife, in all her wisdom, that was one of the things that she did a really good job of implanting into our kids. You make a choice. I remember hearing her say that to them oftentimes. You decide. You make a choice. We choose. Sure, we get angry. Things bother us. You choose what you're going to do with that or not do with that. Wow. 5 minutes, I'm done. Not. Too early for April Fools. Five sources of anger. I really was intending to do when I put this message together, I wanted it to be very practical, okay? Because we all deal with this, so hopefully this is very practical. There's a bunch of things, and I can probably list more. Five was the magic number for my sermon, okay? I have five sources of anger. First one is anger can be spiritually induced. Sometimes it's just plain spiritual. We have several examples in our Bibles, and we're all probably very familiar with the story of King Saul and David. And King Saul, you know, he was the first king chosen for the nation of Israel. And he started out really well. He had a really good start. But at some point, not very far into his kingship, some things went wrong with Saul. He had some misplaced priorities. And it says that God's spirit kind of removed itself from him, and instead a troubled spirit replaced it, a harmful spirit. And he was prone to fits of anger after that. And his advisors in all their wisdom said, we need to bring someone in that can play worship, that can play skillfully on an instrument, someone that can bring the peace of God with them. But it was spiritually induced in Saul's case. The Bible specifically says an evil spirit, a harmful spirit, came on Saul. And sometimes I think in our lives, there can be harmful spirits. I'm not trying to get spooky here, but there are evil spirits in this world. The enemy is about trying to find a foothold in our lives. Are we going to give him that foothold? I'll tell you a story. One of my grandsons, wonderful little boy, I love him. Love all my grandsons, granddaughters. But when he was about the age of 3 or 4, he just started to be very, very angry. He would just get, especially when you disciplined him, he would just get out of control, angry. And my daughter brought him to me one day. Just, she was at her wit's end. I don't know what to do with him. And I don't feel like I have any great wisdom in myself, but something just, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. This is spiritually induced. And so I prayed over my grandson, and I forbade the enemy from having a place to dwell there. Do I think my grandson is demon-possessed? Absolutely not. But do I think that the enemy was there at work? Absolutely yes. I was convinced of it. And so as a man of God and as a son of the king, it made me angry. That's good anger. It made me angry that the enemy was dealing such with my grandson, and I prayed over him, and I welcomed the presence of God, and at the same time, I said to the enemy to get away and leave him alone. He's no longer angry. The anger went. Instantaneously, he didn't have those fits anymore. It was the enemy. Sometimes the enemy does that in our lives. He comes in, he's seeking a foothold. And it can be, our anger can be spiritually induced. Anger can result because you are trying to control everything. Any controllers here? Oh, no. None of us. That's those people that didn't come to church today. I don't think of myself as a control freak, but there are certain things that I do like to try and control. Like sometimes I want to control my wife's responses to me. I'm being honest. You know, I just think sometimes anybody, come on, men, you got the scenario figured out in your mind. If I say this, if I do this, I'm going to get a certain response, right? It doesn't always work out that way, and it kind of makes me irritated. Why couldn't she just respond like it was, you know, in my mind? I've had that problem where I've gotten angry at my wife because she didn't respond the way I thought she should respond. I'm just trying to control things. Or, a little closer to home, when you try to control, I think, I'm just being honest, there's going to be a lot of honesty up here this morning. I used to be very much controlling about my finances. I mean, I don't think I have really had a lot of problems in my life where I just flew off the handle and got angry at people. But you mess with my paycheck. And it's funny because in putting this message together, I started to think about, you know what? As much as I feel like I've tried to entrust my life to God, There were many years where I trusted him with everything, but don't mess with my paycheck. It's like I was trying to control that part of my life. And there were a couple of instances where I was nose to nose with a boss, very disrespectful, very angry because what I felt I had been wronged in my paycheck. But we try to control things. Different scenarios. I know you have different scenarios in your life. But sometimes we just try to be in control. Guess what? We can't control. We need to let loose. We need to just let loose and let God be God. And let people be people. And be in control of ourselves. But it can happen because we're trying to be controllers. Anger can be because of a lack of communicated love or respect. Told you I would talk about marriage a little bit this morning. Sometimes anger happens because my wife gets angry at me sometimes. Is it okay? Wait a minute. You're not supposed to, in CR, you're not supposed to confess somebody else's sins, right? Okay, so I'm going to confess my sin. Sometimes her anger is justified because I'm not coming across very loving. So you didn't know I was going to get to that part. Anger can happen because of a lack of love or respect. Sometimes I am bringing anger on myself. And vice versa. Sometimes I just want to feel like I'm respected. And when I feel disrespected, anger wants to rise up. I'll talk more about that later. Anger can be a conditioned response. This happens a lot with husbands and wives. We start getting a thin skin towards each other, you know. You get irritated at each other. Next thing you know, that just becomes a conditioned response where we're just always on edge about each other. Hey, for me, it's my brother. My conditioned response has been, to this day, I don't have, in my dreams, anybody have weird dreams? I always have weird dreams. In my dreams, I never get angry. If I'm ever going to get angry, you know what it is? My older brother's in my dream. And he's still making me angry. It's a conditioned response. We have people like that in our lives. All of you do. Come on, confess it. It's a conditioned response. You just automatically they're doing it again. So I'm just giving you all these reasons to justify why you're getting angry, okay? Anger can be because of a deficit of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. This is a biggie for us. Sometimes we are just not taking care of ourselves. Sometimes we are not really looking at, am I really full up of God's peace, God's presence? And anger will find a place there. Just a couple mornings ago, my wife doesn't even know this, but just a couple mornings ago, I get up and we're getting ready to go about the day, and I'm just kind of, I didn't act out, but I was kind of on edge. I almost snapped at her a couple of times. And afterwards, you know, lucky for me, her sister's in town from Sweden, and she took off and spent the day with her. So lucky for me, I didn't have, if she would have hung around, I probably would have said something or acted out. It wouldn't have been good. But after she left, I just kind of just like, you know what? I'm really not filling myself up with God's spirit, God's mind this morning. I'm not at peace. And that can be the case for many of us. How much are we doing that? How much are we filling ourselves up with God's presence inviting the Holy Spirit, inviting His thoughts, inviting His presence into our lives. Jesus said, in the same context where He's talking about the Holy Spirit, He's getting ready to leave the disciples, He said, I'm going to send the Comforter, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to guide you, He's going to lead you into all truth. And He says, peace I leave with you. I don't think it's just happenstance that He's talking about the Holy Spirit and peace in the same, basically the same one sentence right after the other. Peace. How much are we filling ourselves up? Now I said it's normal to be angry. Let's just look at Jesus. Just a couple of verses here about Jesus. Did Jesus sin? We know He didn't, right? The Bible says He was without sin. Mark 3, verses 1 through 6, it says, again, He entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus. The Pharisees, they watched Jesus to see whether He would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse Him. And He said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And He said to them, the Pharisees, is it yet lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And He looked around at them with what? With anger. It made Him angry. And He was grieved at their hardness of heart. And He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against Him, how to destroy Him. There were things that angered Jesus. A man without sin. There were still things that angered Him. John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, it says, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, He found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there and making a whip of cords. Now, He didn't do this in anger, right? He was just having a great day, going around singing the praises of God, and He made a whip of cords, and He drove them out of the temple. With the sheep and the oxen, He poured out the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables, and He told those who were sold to pigeons, take these things away. Do not make My Father's house a house of trade. And His disciples remembered what it was written, zeal for Your house will consume Me. You think Jesus was a little bit angry at that moment? It's hard for me to picture Jesus doing all that, just la, 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 you know, get out, please, you know. No, He was storming through the temple. He was turning over tables, and He was saying, get your stuff and get out of here. It angered Him that they were desecrating the temple like that. It angered Him that they had all these stupid pigeons and goats and sheep and all this stuff that is leaving all of their junk in the place where people are supposed to be able to come and worship and pray. They desecrated the temple, and it made Him mad. Jesus directed His anger at injustice and false teaching. Things that misrepresent God. If there is a good use for our anger, that's it right there. If there is a good place to direct anger, it's at misrepresentation of God. That's about the only justified place for you to exhibit anger. Exhibit your anger at the enemy. When it really sinks into my head that the enemy is at work, like he was with my grandson, or he has been at other instances in my life, you know what? It makes me angry. And at that point, it's okay for my anger to act out. Because then I say, you know what, enemy, you do not belong here. But that's the only instance. So that was examples in Jesus' life. I want to give you some practical stuff here. Five steps. Five's the magic number today. Stop giving place to the devil. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Don't let him get a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity. That you get angry, okay, let it stop right there. Don't give him a place. Forgive. Release. Colossians 3, 1 through 10 says, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Anybody think got anything earthly in you? No. Yeah, no, right, liar. Put to death everything that is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, but when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Put them off. We have to recognize it first thing. You know, I made fun earlier about, you know, the way sometimes we like CR, you know, I have this problem, or I'm dealing with this anger, or I'm dealing... We need to first, the first step, isn't it something about like admitting? Somewhere in there at the top of the list, getting past denial. Some of us are still in denial. So let's get past denial and recognize, you know what? I'm going to get angry. Something, things are going to get under my skin. What am I going to do with it? All right, let's stop the old way. Let's stop the old mindset. Let's stop the old man's way of doing things and starting to stew on it or making me act out. It's like, no, put those things away. We have to post no trespassing signs to the enemy. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to your lies. Oh, she's just doing that because, or he's just... Post no trespassing signs. Enemy, devil, Satan, your lies, your thoughts, they don't belong here in my life. Yeah. And it's not enough just to post the signs. We've got to reinforce them. Because the enemy is like this. He likes to just kind of, you know, he knows you're a child of God. He knows you're a son and daughter of God. He knows who your daddy is. But he'll like to creep in on the back acre somewhere and just kind of set up a little tent. We got to recognize that for what it is. We post no trespassing signs. I'm a child of God. And we keep them off our land. And we do that by dealing with this stuff that causes anger to arise in us. Number two, invite the work of the Holy Spirit. Invite the work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:15-21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Wow, we got to be wise. We got to be smart. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It says, be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit isn't something, okay, I did that once. I did that once back when I was 15. I invited the Holy Spirit into my life. I did. But I got to stay filled up. It's a conscious thing. It's a deliberate thing that I need to do, that each one of us needs to do, to fill ourselves up. See, I told you I'd get the chance to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit this morning. We need to purposely ask the Holy Spirit, would you just, this is what I do. Sometimes I just find myself, I stop. Holy Spirit, just wash over my mind. Wash over my thoughts. Wash over my heart. I need your thoughts. I need your peace. I need your presence. All right, this subject's taboo, but I'm going to say it anyways. Worship in tongues. The Bible says pray in the Spirit. Some of you don't know anything about tongues, but one thing happens when we invite the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He gives us a prayer language where we can speak in a language that is worship. It is worship to God. And when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking directly to God in words of worship that nobody can understand. You can't even really fathom them yourselves. But your spirit is communing with God's spirit. We need to just worship God. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Does anybody here worship in the morning? Absolute must. Are you a Christian? You love God? You need to begin your day worshiping. One of the best things I ever did a couple years ago, I invested in a membership to Spotify. Anybody know what Spotify is? It's an app you can put on your phone where you can download just about any kind of music there is out there. If it's been put on an album somewhere, it's on there. And I invested in a little Bluetooth speaker, nice Bluetooth speaker, and I have it, you know where I have it? I have it in my bathroom. Because I spend about an hour in that bathroom every morning. It takes a while to make this beauty, okay? It doesn't just happen. You don't believe me. But you know what I do? I consciously, I don't like to wake up. I wake up, my alarm clock goes off in the morning, and I get up, and I'm just like, whatever, don't talk to me. And it takes me a lot, that's why I need an hour. But I'll go in the bathroom there, and I'm going to shower and get beautiful. And I put on worship music. And I'm not talking just Christian music. I'm not just talking words that just talk about God. There's a difference. I put on worship music. You know why? Because I need to get my thoughts in the right place. I need to get full of the presence and the peace of God. And a couple of mornings ago when I got irritated at my wife, you know what I hadn't done? You got it. I didn't turn on the worship music. Because I may not immediately, I'll turn that music on, and the first 10 minutes I'm still trying to wipe the sleep out of my eyes. But eventually, I start listening to those words, the words that are talking about how gracious God is. Songs that talk about how God loves me, and I know I don't deserve it, but He's right there in my life, and He has welcomed me to His kingdom and to His table, and He still welcomes me every single day. And those words get into my spirit, and I start worshiping. And you know what happens with those words? Peace. And the right mindset. I'm giving you something practical here right now. Worship. Start your day out that way. You got to make a conscious effort. You got to make it happen. However, maybe it's on your drive to work. I don't know how you do it. You find a way. Worship. Invite the work of the Holy Spirit. Number one, invite God's Spirit. That's how we keep the wrong spirit out. We invite God's Spirit. We invite the Holy Spirit. Feed your spirit. Number three, feed your spirit the truth of God's grace and mercy. Feed your spirit this stuff. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. These are words, these kind of words right here. These are things I remind myself all the time. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, thank you, Lord, because of the great love which he loved us, makes me want to worship right now, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Remind yourself how undeserving you are and how blessed you are that God loves you. We got to remind ourselves. We start taking it for granted. We start becoming self-righteous. We need to feed our spirits. God's mercy, God's grace. I'm undeserving. Paul had a pretty good handle on it. He said, I recognize there's nothing good in me. Only thing good in me is what God has done. God's grace, God's mercy. And this kind of leads into the fourth thing. Release those who have caused you anger. There's a parable here. I won't read it. I'll just summarize it and tell you. Jesus told a parable about a man that says that he owed a huge debt. He owed, let's just say, $100,000. And he was about ready to be thrown into prison, and he begged for mercy. Please, please, give me mercy. And the person to whom he owed the money to forgave him. He said, I release you from this debt. And the man turned around and he found somebody that owed him $10. Found somebody that owed him just a little bit. He said, pay me. And the person begged him, have mercy on me. And he didn't. No mercy. Had him thrown in the debtor's prison. The parable is, it should mean something to us, because each one of us here, we've been forgiven a huge debt. I don't care how good of a person you think you are. Maybe you are pretty good. I'm looking, there are some pretty good people here. We all fall short of the glory of God. Yeah. And we've been forgiven a huge debt. And we forget that when we hold little grudges against other people that they have wronged us. We got to remove. That's why I say we got to remind ourselves. We got to feed ourselves the grace and the mercy of God. It helps us to be able to release other people, because we're not deserving ourselves. The last thing, my last point here I want to make is, seek to be understanding of those that frustrate you. Seek to be more understanding. Ephesians 5:25. I'm just going to skip around a few verses here in Ephesians. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave herself up for her. Verse 33, it says, however, let each one of you love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Very similar words in Colossians 3, 18 to 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. We need to seek to be more understanding of each other. Sometimes I get angered at my wife because I don't like her reactions. Well, you know why she reacts to me the way she does? Because I'm coming across pretty unloving. And what she needs from me more than anything else is she needs love. She needs to hear love. That's the primary language. That's the primary thing she understands and she needs to get from me is love. And I come across unloving. Now, I never did that when I was dating her. I always came across very loving. It is funny how after we get married, everything changes. We're not so loving anymore. We're not so respectful anymore. We just fall into these ruts. Sometimes I find myself now, when I get a reaction that I don't like from my wife, I think, wonder how I came across. Maybe I didn't say that very, very lovingly. Maybe I didn't communicate very well. And vice versa. How many men here like to be respected? Sometimes we react to our wives because it feels like they disrespect us. When they're telling us, you know what you need to do? How many hate to hear that? Guys, let's be honest. Now, wait a minute. What's said here stays here. Don't go home and have fights, okay? But husbands, guys, we like to be respected. And our wives don't know it, but sometimes we need some good, honest communication in our marriages. They don't realize it. But sometimes the way they come across, or they approach us, it makes us feel disrespected. So what do? We lash out. Or we just totally choose to ignore them. That one more often than not. We need to just, what this bottom line is, we need to choose and seek to understand each other better. So there's too much anger. There's too much anger in this world. You see these headlines of school shootings. It's too much anger. Road rage. There's too much anger in our homes. Fathers, moms, sometimes we're just plain frustrating our kids. They need our love. And they need consistent discipline. And sometimes we're just plain frustrating them by not doing those things. I'm going to stop because each one of these points are whole sermons in themselves. But will you stand up with me? How many are thankful for the grace of God? Can we remain thankful for the grace of God and invite His presence in our lives? We need Him. We need Him to fill us up. We need Him to fill our thoughts. And if we do that, I think there's a whole lot less anger. There's a whole lot less acting out. There's a whole lot less sinning that's coming from our anger. Yeah. I had on my mind this morning, anybody know the old hymn, Amazing Grace? You sing it with me? Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was blind, but now I see. God, I thank you for these people here. God, we are your people. We are your sons and your daughters. We are all those that you have called. We're all those that you have just bestowed your grace and your mercy upon so amazingly. We don't deserve it, any one of us. And we so much need you in our lives. We need you, God, transforming our minds, our thoughts, our hearts. We need your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, coming inside of us and making us new and changing the way we act, changing the way we think, transforming us. And we invite you, God. We invite you, and we ask you, Lord, to help us, that we would just stop these sinful things that we do, this anger, we'd stop it in its tracks in our lives. And you'd help us to understand, God, how much we have been forgiven, and that we would in turn forgive and release each other. Thank you, God. Have your way in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.